This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Since Football Friday.
Sanders fires. Got a man. Wester. He's five. He's touchdown, Colorado. 34 yards.
He threw that bubble screen. That is caught. Head to the house. Touchdown, Chris Durr. Wyoming. They needed one big play.
Just gets the play off.
And Marshall is in. Touchdown. Colorado State.
Spots it up. Meese straight through the middle and into the end zone. Touchdown, Northern Colorado. And just like that, it's 9-0.
A little heat on him. Loads up. Fires. Got it. Touchdown.
Welcome back into a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Picks are coming up in less than an hour, Mike. Started the season 1-0. Got Wyoming. We got the cover, 5.5. Feeling good about that. And we'll see what we how we're feeling about Colorado and Georgia Tech tonight. The big story around the NFL, Micah Parsons getting traded by the Cowboys to the Packers, and then he gets his record contract. That was a shocker. I tended to agree with Benjamin Albright on this because he was with us last week. He's like, I think Jerry's going to cave. And I was seeing reports at the beginning of the week that it sounded like they might potentially cave. But then you get this. So who won? Who won this trade? The Cowboys traded Micah Parsons to the Packers for 3-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kenny Clark, who is kind of aging, but 2 first-round picks in 26 and 27. Well, Mike, like those picks for Green Bay, they're probably a playoff team. They might not be a great team, but they're a playoff team. Those picks are, at least next year in 2026, are probably going to be around the 20s. So if I'm the Packers, I'm feeling pretty good. But at the same time, is it weird that I kind of get where Jerry Jones is coming from on this? I'm not saying the stuff leading up to it was right. Jones just seems really burned by the agent, whoever the agent is that's working for Micah Parsons. Really burned by that. And it just seemed like they were at a point of no return. When Micah put all those tweets out and messages out that it was like, my time is done. I had a feeling then that this thing was going to maybe not end well as far as, you know, a contract. And then after talking to Benjamin, I started to think, okay, well, Benjamin's in the know. He said he'd be shocked if something doesn't get done. And here we are. I mean, Micah Parsons was serious. He was serious about wanting out of Dallas and got out. And now the Cowboys have a couple of first-round picks to show for it. I mean, if he's unhappy and you've reached the point of no return, do you really just want to leave a guy on your roster that's clearly wanting out of there? It sucks for both that's how it had to end, because it's just like you're used to seeing Micah Parsons in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. It's going to be weird seeing him as a Green Bay Packer. But I don't really care that much from either team. It doesn't bother me. But it's just the fact that it went that bad. I mean, Jerry Jones thought that the two of them had an agreement, like almost a handshake agreement, apparently, and then Parsons goes to the agency, and the agency's like, no, not even close. And they, you know, Jones's words said they told him to stick it up his ass and all that. It got ugly, and it officially did reach that point of no return. I don't think, like, I'm seeing people compare this to the Luka Doncic thing. No. Micah wanted out. That's not a, you know, oh, wow, just a shocker of a trade. Luka bought a house in Dallas, bro. Luka wanted to be a Maverick for life. He's one of the best players in the league, and then just out of nowhere, you trade him for Anthony Davis. Micah Parsons, for months now, it has gotten slowly but surely worse as far as his outlook on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know it's Dallas. That would suck, though, Mike. That would be the equivalent of the Broncos trading Patrick Surtain for a middling D tackle and two first-round picks, and the Nuggets trading Nikola Jokic straight up for a, I don't know, give me a really good player, Donovan Mitchell. Denver would be freaking out, wouldn't they? You lose Pat Surtain and you lose Joe. That's the equivalent. Parsons was the best player on the Cowboys roster. Best defensive player, at least. And Luka was the best player for the Mavericks. It sucked to be a Dallas fan. They've been through it. Can you imagine that? The Luka thing happens, surprise the world. You're hearing this Micah Parsons stuff for months. You're thinking maybe it's all just a little overblown. It's going to get done, and then he's gone. It's a bad look. How you doing, Dallas fans? You guys hanging in there okay?
You know, at least with the Broncos' biggest trades, we got something for that. When the Broncos traded away Clinton Portis.
They got champion.
Like, you got a Hall of Famer. When the Broncos traded away a great offensive lineman, they got a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, who I'm blanking out.
I don't remember what his name was, but John Elway.
Oh, okay.
The guy that traded for John Elway.
I get what you're saying. That trade, that Champ Bailey Clinton Portis trade, Mike. Clinton Portis was my favorite player. I loved watching him run. He was an amazing running back. So when the trade happened and you got Champ Bailey in return, I loved Champ Bailey. Cornerback play, man. That's my favorite position in football is watching corners, and Champ was the best in his time. So it was like, it really sucked that Portis was gone, but you got Champ, so it was almost like a wash. Those are the trades that at least you can sleep at night. With what the Mavericks did, they traded a generational talent for a really good big man. That's a downgrade.
I disagree on it being a wash.
Really?
Yeah, because the Broncos needed a cornerback, and Mike Shanahan's offense always had a good
Portis.
A good running back.
Yeah, but not like Portis.
Not like Portis, not like Davis, but like they really needed a cornerback.
I feel like I'm talking about the value. Maybe not necessarily for them, but the value. Portis at that time was one of the top running backs in the game. Champ Bailey at that time was one of the top cornerbacks in the game. So it felt like kind of a wash as far as value. But with the Cowboys, like I always think it's crazy. And I get that contracts, this is always why you do it. When you trade away amazing players, generational talent type players, which I think Micah Parsons is, Jerry Jones talked about the run stop and all that, but dude, as far as rushing the passer, he is elite. But I always find it interesting when you trade away great players for first round picks, because you know what you have in Parsons. You don't know what those first round picks are going to turn into. Smitty says, Jerry Jones is 82. Micah is 26. How many 82-year-old men understand a 20-something? Plus, Jerry's ego is a huge problem for the Cowboys. Micah felt he was disrespected. A good agent would have been a filter between Jerry and Micah. That's why teams should only negotiate with agents. Well, that sounds like that's where it went south, or that's where it started to go south, was Jones and Micah are having a good conversation. Jones walks away thinking, okay, we got a deal done. Micah is still maintaining that, you know, it was a conversation, but it wasn't a contract type of deal. So, and then it, you know, Parsons brings it to the agents, and the agents are like, heck no, man, you can get way more money than that. Plus they get more money, the more money he gets. So then they bring it to Jerry like, no, that thing that you had with him was not good, and you need to be negotiating with us. And that's probably where it should have started from the get-go. That's why you do have agents. It does keep the personal relationship kind of out of it a little bit. And I think after the fact that they had a serious conversation, and then it dissolved, made it 10 times worse, even though they might have been in a good place during that conversation.
And it also helps with the player. The player is allowed to be the player, and the agent is allowed to be the scumbag. Like, if you're the player and you want to get more money and the boss says no, like, that's one thing you struggle with. Like, oh, I need more money, and the boss says, no, sorry, we can't do that. That's hard on you. But if you have someone on your behalf going, no, we need more money, this is how valuable this guy is, then it puts pressure on the boss.
Yeah, I'm surprised it went that way. It ultimately got down to it.
How do you think Jared Goff feels right now?
Go on.
I mean, was he like, he saw the trade and was like, oh, damn it, twice a year?
Yeah, Jared Goff and Caleb Williams.
Oh, especially Caleb Williams.
His life just got terrible. You know, that offensive line was not very good last year.
I mean, so, didn't they draft a couple guys?
Yeah, but you never know. Yeah, that's rough.
Team Micah Parsons.
Do you worry at all about if the Broncos give Nick Benito a contract? Now, again, he's more in his prime, but you remember what happened when the Broncos gave their last big pass rusher the monster contract? Vaughn was never the same after that.
Yeah, I call it the curse of the contract. I mean, there are several different curses out there. There's the curse, there's the Madden curse, there's the contract curse, and then there's the sponsor curse, where if you like start doing a bunch of commercials, you start sucking. Eddie Royal.
Local, but Mahomes is on more commercials than anybody, and he's not. I mean, maybe he took a slight step back last year, but there are certain guys that once you get paid, especially once you get paid and you've won, then it might, you know, the
not got, playing for the contract.
You got your money, you got your Super Bowl. Because after the Broncos signed Von Miller, which I was for, there's no doubt though that once that contract was done, His production went down. Do you worry about that with Benito? Again, Vaughn was in his second contract already. So this is Benito's still on his rookie contract. So he's much younger than Vaughn was. But we're talking Benito is already at that point, which is kind of crazy. But he's going to want money to be paid like a top pass rusher in the NFL. Vaughn, when he signed his first contract, Mike, outside of the rookie deal, was good, but then
he was great in those playoffs.
Wait a second, that was his second contract or his first contract extension, wasn't it, Mike? Because wasn't when he was he drafted in 2011,
I think.
Yeah, that was John Elway's first draft, and so Vaughn was a rookie when it was Tebow's year, right? So that would have been his first contract extension. Was the one after the Super Bowl, am I right? Because if it was 2011 and then they won the Super Bowl in 15. Okay, so scratch that, my bad. So it's the same situation, isn't it? Both guys getting ready to sign their next contract. Vaughn's production went down and Nick Benito is having a very similar start to his career. But I would say Vaughn was much better early on than Benito because Vaughn's rookie year was pretty good. You know, Benito's rookie year, nobody really thought he was going to be a great player. You're kind of waiting to see if he was going to be a good player. You know, his rookie year, he had one sack, Mike. His second year, he had 8, and then last year, he had 13.5. Von Miller, at this point, his rookie year, he had 11.5 sacks. In 2012, the year the first Super Bowl that group went to, when they got smoked by Seattle, he had 18.5 sacks.
And he started his career with Elvis Dumervil on the other side.
Yep.
And once Elvis
That's
Dumervil
true.
Had that fax fiasco.
Yeah, Faxgate.
The fax-go.
Faxgate.
You know, we lost him to a lesser awful franchise, and we had Vaughn, and Vaughn still produced.
Well, and then Vaughn's year three, he was on a trajectory, and then year three wasn't that the year he got in trouble? year three with the marijuana thing?
I think so.
Because he only played in 9 games, so he had 5 sacks. And then the next year, he had 14 sacks, 11 sacks. He had 11 sacks in the season that he won the MVP and then ultimately got the contract, the Super Bowl MVP, and then ultimately got the contract. He wasn't like on an extreme tear that season. Then the postseason hit and he went on a tear. That postseason got him paid. So in hindsight, you probably made the wrong decision. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you wouldn't have signed Vaughn, who knows what would have happened? Because now you got a lot more money to play with. But his numbers in 2016 were good. He had 13.5 sacks. The Broncos weren't. I mean, they were a 9-win team that year. 10 sacks, 14.5. It's like still good numbers for Vaughn. But it just didn't feel as impactful as it did in that Super Bowl run in the playoffs in 2015.
And if you sign one guy to a monster contract, or two guys, or four guys, if you're signing a small group of people to monster contracts, you can't afford a bunch of other studs. Like, you have to do what some of the smarter quarterbacks did. John Elway did this towards the latter end of his career. Tom Brady has been known to do this. But, hey, they make a lot of money. They want a player to play for them. They take a pay cut so that player can make a little extra money.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Nick Bonitto will have a career like Von Miller? Von is a Hall of Famer. He's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. It seems like he's less now because he's played a lot of extra years where he's not really at his top. He's not really a starter anymore. It seems like a lesser player. That's what happens if you're a great player and then you still hang on, like Joe Flacco. You still hang on because you can still play, but you're just not at the level you were when you became a Hall of Famer. It sometimes seems like, he's not first ballot. He didn't have his last few years weren't great. But, dude, he is 16th all-time in sacks with 129.5. I mean, he could eventually, he's probably playing one more year. There's a chance he could get into the top 10 if he can get 7 or 8 sacks this year. I don't know if he's going to do that, but there's a chance. Do you think Nick Bonitto is going to be in that 100-plus sack world when it's all said and done?
It depends on how hard he plays and how healthy he is. If he stays healthy, and if he stays, I hate this, stays hungry. Everyone says that. And
very
I hate
cliche
that phrase,
of you.
If he still wants to be that guy, if he still plays ferocious, like, then, yeah, he can be a Von Miller, maybe even better than a Von Miller if he can stay healthy. But football is football, and people get hurt, and, little bumps and bruises, and sometimes their legs fall off.
This was the most cliche thing, that whole spiel you had there. If he can stay healthy, if he can play good, he'll get paid good, all that stuff.
I didn't sound like one of those, though.
Yeah, kind of.
You got to play good.
What is it? Play good, pay good, or what is it? Look good, feel good, play good, pay good, something like that. Was it Coach Prime's deal? Eastside Chris, Micah is on fire. Perhaps it's time to cut the cord and let him go.
Let me go as in just let me keep talking, or let me go as in fire me.
I'm hoping that one, but I don't think so. I think he likes you.
I really like Micah.
Yeah, I think even Jerry does. Jerry's a fan of you.
He is. And he spent a lot of that press conference talking about Micah.
He must be familiar with your training camp work that you did 10-plus years ago.
Oh, yeah. My work there was immaculate. Everybody looked up to me. Denver media was like, who is this
up-and-coming guy? Wow, he looks good.
Yeah, and they were like, we want to hire you, sir. And I said, no, I enjoy my tiny flooding studio apartment in Greeley.
You're not there anymore.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
They had to renovate that whole place.
He said, Chris, what would you want him to go?
More.
What do you want me to cut the cord and let him go on? Just give me more puns? I think that's a dangerous game, friendo.
What Disney character likes puns the most? Rapunzel.
Mm-mm. I know I ask it a lot, but why? That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. Yeah. it's just, I don't know how many demerits you have now. Quite a bit. Since you started doing this show with me, quite a bit.
Well, if they're demerit Thomases, then I will take as many as possible.
All right, 25 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're going to take a quick break. Big City Roadhouse Football Friday continues. The picks are coming up in about 20 minutes. So lock in, lock it up. I'm going to help you out this weekend. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
For more on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310kfka.com.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse Football Friday rolling on. We got Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock, setting the stage for all things college football in the area that we care about the most, Northern Colorado and the surrounding communities. Lemons Heating and Cooling, it's been cooler this week, man. Makes you think. It's not going to be too long until you got to get that heater situation going again, or maybe even the air conditioner was tapping out, and you might as well get that fixed up too, or tuned up, or at least looked at from our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. When I needed them last summer for the AC unit, they were there. They helped me out, and a big time of need too. It was like July, the dead of summer. It was awful, and Lemons did not keep me hanging. They hooked me up. And then we were nice and cool for the rest of that summer. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or call 970-567-0798. The UNC Bears going up against Chadron State tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. There is just kind of a feeling of like, okay, this is a game we have to win. If you don't win this game, what does that do mentally for you? And the Bears are really, like I said earlier, they're in no position to overlook anybody. This is a team that has won one game in 2 years. I root for Ed Lamb. I root for a lot of these players. I got to see it. I got to see what this group looks like. There was moments last year where it looked like they were getting over the hump. They were becoming a better football team. And then injuries, whatever, they'd go get blown out. So I look at this group, obviously Peter Castelli, QB1, excited to see what he can do. Hopefully he can stay healthy. The tight end position is the one I'm really excited about. So Fisher Clements, Hank Gibbs, and Charlie Garrison. Those three dudes. Hank Gibbs, remember, was in the quarterback battle last year with Peter Castelli. It was a two-man race. Castelli won. Hank was the backup. Then Castelli gets hurt. Then it's Hank Gibbs. Shortly after that, he gets hurt, and then you have tons of other quarterbacks get hurt for him. So now Hank Gibbs has moved to tight end behind Fisher Clements. I had all three of those dudes, Charlie Garrison, Fisher Clements, and Hank Gibbs, in the podcast studio for Football 52 a few months ago. And I think I'm just really intrigued by quarterbacks playing the transitioning to the wide receiver, to the tight end position. I don't know why, but that just really fascinates me. So I'm excited to see what that group can do. Big offensive line that Coach Lamb's really fond of. On the defensive side, really high on their defensive line. Got McCour, Abram, Brooks Miley, Aiden Merrihue, and Dom Butts. On that D-line, talk to K.J. Smedley, linebacker. I think he's going to be a good player. Guy's got the greatest personality I've ever witnessed with a young football player. I'm a little, I mean, I can feel it too, man. I'm a little nervous for these guys. You know, you really want it to work out. Because if you don't beat Shadron State, you start to look and go, okay, where are those wins? Portland State down the road? Again, these game ones, that's not the end-all be-all, but this is a team that you probably should beat, and if you can't. But last time Shadron State was here, Mike, that might have been the Ernest Collins Jr. days, but you got smoked. I'm trying to find, when was that? Was that 2021? No. 2019? No. Mike, help me out. When was that? When did the Bears play? It hasn't been that long ago, has it? Is it 2016? 15? Was it that long ago? Where am I missing it? But anyway, it was a blowout. And not the good kind. Not for UNC. So you can't go into this game thinking you're going to win it. Just know you got to feel like you can win, obviously, but it's not like, we just go out there and do our thing. I'm just eager to see what this group is all about. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Because you look at their schedule the rest of the way after that, it's, now was it 09? Texter saying 09. No. They played Kansas in 09 to start the season off.
That one was a rough one.
Yeah. When the heck did they play them, Mike?
The worst one I remember was when they played Hawaii. It was such a late night, and it was such a blowout.
When was that?
That had to be, I'm guessing 2006. Or so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can get it done. Like I said, the tight end position is kind of the one I've got circled. I think that's a fascinating group. But you lose this thing, and then you really start to, I don't know. You know, I don't think Ed Lamb is in any jeopardy of losing his job. Ernest Collins Jr. was there for a long time, and I think that if Ed was just different, then he might have still been here. I do think at UNC they put up with a lot on the football side specifically. And they will allow you to be, you know, it's not really about wins and losses. And that's, I know it's weird to say that, but you haven't experienced it, Mike. Since this team became a Division I team, we haven't seen it. 37 minutes. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, Ernest Collins Jr., from what I remember, was the guy who had the two winning seasons. And I've had two
years of six wins.
Yeah, they were both 6-5.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through 2-0-11 seasons. And that's rough. But
yeah.
I think UNC is more patient if you have a good person as a coach, and I think Coach Lamb is a very good person.
And Ernest was too. They liked Ernest. He 2015 they won six games. 2016 they won six games. But outside of that, it was awful. But that was the ceiling. I mean, you imagine winning six games now, and then after those years, it was bad. 2017 Ernest's group, they won three. 2018 they won two. 2019, they won two. 2020, didn't play. 2021, they won three. 2022, they won three. And then 0-4. So, I mean, three is like, for the last 7 years, three has been the ceiling for this team. That's not good. 38 minutes after the hour, Colorado or Georgia Tech? Where are you guys going on that one? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. 38 after. Let's take a quick break here. We'll put the finishing touches on that game, and then we got the picks coming up in the last 5 minutes of the show. So do not miss it. We're 1-0. We got the cover from the Cowboys last night, so feeling good. How will we do the rest of the way? Let's get the latest on the local Sports Slash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show on a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. The tension is building. We are getting closer and closer to Colorado playing host to Georgia Tech tonight. And that is going to be on a lot of people's televisions. The ratings are going to be good for this game tonight, Mike. They're going to be really good. CU is must-see television. And, you know, last year was that big step for them. They won 9. They were ranked. People were talking about them. Spreads changed a little bit, Michael. Went from 4 to now 3.5 for Georgia Tech. I don't know where I'm going. Where are you going? You don't have to make your picks like epic and cool like mine. You can just say them and it's not as cool. It's not as fun, but.
Well, I'll make mine epic.
Okay.
Okay, I think Georgia Tech is going to win.
I don't know why I expected something cool to happen in that moment.
I don't have any reverb on my mic.
Mm-hmm.
That was brought to you by
Roadhouse.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, dude. Well, Brian's pretty high on it. Brian Howell, he was talking about maybe some studs on this defensive line. The offensive line we keep hearing is much better than it was last year. They were rough, dude. That was a bad offensive line for this team. How about Zach Adkins at tight end? You know, I've been into the tight end thing. I'm always looking at who has the best tight end. And that's going to be... Why is that funny? You're making it weird.
I'm really tired, Barry.
You're making it weird.
I'm tired and I have like 8 more hours to go.
Fridays are kind of a marathon for you. We got a big high school football game tonight. I'm ready for that. But Zach Adkins. I should have asked Brian about him. Maybe watch out for him. Savelle Smalls is the other tight end there. They have a Brady on their team. Maybe we should be rooting for him. And Coach Prime saying it like, hey, this team, I feel like is our best team yet. Like overall, from A to Z on the roster. Maybe so, but you are replacing two of the greats, and you can do all your retiring jersey number thing with Shador, and I get it. I don't understand it. I wouldn't have been the move for me. Even Travis Hunter's retiring it this soon is kind of interesting, but he definitely deserves it. But those two players will go down as two of the best college football players. I don't know where Shador is on that list, Mike. I don't know. But Travis Hunter will go down as one of the best college football players ever, regardless of what he does in the NFL. Replacing that is not easy. Just ask Boise State how difficult it is to replace Ashton Jeanty. Now, again, the Broncos have been good over the years. It wasn't just like, oh, Jeanty's here, now suddenly Boise State's relevant. No, they've been relevant for a while. But is that going to be the effect you see tonight for the Buffs without Shador, without Travis Hunter? They do have DJ McKinney at corner, Teon Parks at corner. DJ McKinney is a big name. That was when Brian's talked about him a lot. Those are some big shoes to fill. So we're fixing to find out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I think this is a trajectory hinge moment kind of game. The winner could really make some noise in their conference. And then the loser is probably going to be like for CU, if they lose, I think they're going to be like a 6-7 win team. Brian thinks that anyway. Brian's high on the game tonight, but he thinks this is about a 7-win team, which would certainly be, for some, a letdown. 48 minutes after the hour, Mike, we got the picks. The first edition of the picks. We had a pick last night. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, and we're about to get to them. 1-0 on the season. We're going to go to 2-0. We're going to get that done tonight. We'll go over them. Coming up next, it's a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday on the whole show. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back. All
right. Now dig this, baby.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins. Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We have finally arrived. The best segment, second best segment in the history of radio. The picks. We got it right last night. I took Wyoming, -5.5 over Akron. We got it. Barely. I mean, not barely. 10. It was 3-0 for an uncomfortable period of time. But we got it. We're 1-0. Record 1-0. Now we move to today, which is Friday. Friday is today. Today is Friday. Where do you want me to go first? Build up? This game's not interesting to me. Bucknell at Air Force. Air Force is -30.5. I'm not comfortable with Air Force beating anybody by 30.5. I don't think so. So I'm going to say Bucknell covers +30.5. It's, I mean, it's 30.1 to nothing right now, Mike. So I'm going to go Bucknell covers against Air Force. Air Force will still win, but that's the bet. Shadron State at Northern Colorado. There's no line on this game. Give me the Bears. Give me the Bears. Start off the season 1-0, and we'll keep it rolling. Let's go Colorado State and Washington. They're not winning. The Rams are not winning this game. Do they cover 21.5, Mike? No, they don't. Washington will cover 21.5, I'm afraid. It might not feel like the blowout that was Texas last year, but it'll still be a 20-plus game. 20-point plus game, something. On to the game of the week. Georgia Tech tonight at Colorado. They are 4-point favorites. Georgia Tech is. Georgia Tech is getting the cover. They cover -4. Buffs start the season 0-1. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.